If you take your Bibles right now, I got to take my glasses off so I can see. We're going to start off in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Okay, you're all there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus is all I'm going to talk about, he said. In verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but where? In the what? Power of God. It's not anything in me, it's not anything in us. It's the preaching, and it's the preaching that changed their lives. It's Jesus. It wasn't me. It was Jesus that changed their lives. It was the gospel. And Paul's telling them, again, I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ, and Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Now skip down to verse 18. Discharge I commit unto thee, next two words, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now go over to 2 Timothy, keep going to your right, chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 2. To Timothy, what's the next four words? My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. That therefore, next two words, my son, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. Now go to Titus chapter 1, verse 4. Keep going to your right. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, what's the next three words? My own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So Paul's calling Timothy a son. Paul's calling Titus a son. Go over one page to Philemon, verse 10. One page to your right, Philemon, verse 10. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He's calling Onesimus a son. Was Paul married? Did Paul have children? Why is he calling Timothy a son? Why is he calling Titus a son? Why is he calling Onesimus a son? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Paul's talking to the church now, and he's telling these brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. He's telling the church, let a man show account of us as of the ministers or servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul's telling these people, let a man look at us as ministers or servants of the mysteries of Christ and stewards of this. And in verse 2, Paul's telling them, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul's telling these Christians, this is where it's at. And I'm a steward of this to give it to you. Now skip down here to verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Let me skip down here to verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my what? Beloved sons, I warn you. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus have begotten you through the gospel. Paul's telling them, you're my children. How's that? I'm your spiritual father. I brought the gospel to you. And I want this church to know, me and my wife are very thankful for this church. For 5 years, you've faithfully supported us, and they're your children. We partner together. Amen? Now go to Philippians chapter 4. He says, I fathered you. You're my sons. You're my daughters. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul's talking to the Philippian church. Not a real rich church, an average church. Poor, a poor church, actually. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I want you to look at these words. Now, do you even talk to your spouse this way? But look at these words. Therefore, my brethren, next two words, dearly beloved, and next two words, and long for. My what? My joy and my what? Crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He's talking to a church. He's talking to the church people. And he's saying, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, you're a crown of gold on my head. I love you so much. You are a blessing to me. Why did Paul talk this like this to these people? Let's go to skip down here to verse 10. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord, next word, greatly. That's a strong word. Again, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul's telling this church, you cared for me. You sacrificed for me. Let's skip down here to verse 14. Verse 14, notwithstanding you have well done that you did communicate for my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You kept giving to me. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity. Even when I went somewhere else to Thessalonica, you found out where I was and you kept giving to me. You kept sacrificing and giving. Verse 18. And this is what me and my wife want you to know. But I have all and abound. Next three words. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you. An odor of a what? Next two words. Sweet smell. This is their sacrifice. A what? A sacrifice. Next word? Acceptable. Next word? Well-pleasing to God. And I just wanted to do a quick illustration here. This is what? Every time you take this and you put this in here, we get this. This is 50 pesos. Actually, it's up now. It's up to 54. I mean, I don't know how, but... This is worth this. You put this in here, we get this. With this, we could buy 25 pieces of bakery bread. The bakery bread is 2 pesos. So this is equal to this, and we could buy 25 pieces of bakery bread with this. Okay, what if this was $10? How much would this be? 10 times 50 is 500. How many pieces of bakery bread could you buy with this? 500? 250? I could get my hair cut with this, with the tip. But I'm so cheap, I bought a razor and a trimmer, and I have my wife cut my hair, amen? She cut my hair last night with vertigo in the bathroom of the hotel. It's like, I'm dizzy. I'm like, well, honey, you got to cut my hair. But I got vertigo. I was praying too, man. Like, is it going to look bad this way? This means a lot. This means this. And for 5 years, you faithfully supported. And every time we ministered to people there, it was you ministering. Because we don't have nothing. All we have is come from you. You are our heroes. You are our lifeline. And it means a lot. And me and my wife thank you as a church faithfully for 5 years. They're your children. They're your children. We partner together, amen? And you have to come and see them. You'll be blessed, I promise you. They're amazing. They have little. They live in a room 16 foot by 16 foot. All their belongings are in that one little room. But that's life to them. Thank you as a church. And listen, I'm going to just give a couple more verses here. Paul says, again, in verse 18, I have to read this verse again, verse 18. But I, and he's talking to these Christians that gave, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord. But let's go back to verse 17. Or verse 16. For even in Thessalonica he sent once and again to my necessity. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to my account. Let me read verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to my account. That was the NIV version? Let me read the King James. And I believe the word fruit means souls. Paul says, not because I desire a gift from you, but I desire souls that may abound to your account. Your children. How are they your children? You sacrificed and you gave. Amen? Me and my wife, we thank you for that. And look, we came here not looking to get more churches, not looking to raise more support. We're thankful for what we have. And we just want to thank the churches for their giving. We want to thank them for changing lives. And listen, it's not us. It's Jesus. Jesus gets all the glory, amen? Jesus changed your life. Jesus put it in your heart to give so you can send the gospel halfway around the world. It's all Jesus gets the glory. And I tell our young people, never lift me up. Never exalt me. It's Jesus. I'm just a servant of his. Not even fit to be a servant, amen? But let me give you three more verses, and we're done. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. And this is a familiar verse, but you need to... Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget my work, your work, and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God sees. Listen, you don't see the pictures, you don't see the faces, but now you see the faces, amen? God sees every time you put money in here, and he remembers, amen? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, but let me read verse 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 to 10. Paul, again, is talking to his children. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 to 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meant to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the what? Grace of God, I am what I am. And his what? Grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. It's his grace. Jesus gets the glory, amen? It's through his grace we could do anything. And in verse 58, the last verse there, Paul says, in verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I sat there. I know what it's like to give. When I was working in our church in Philadelphia, I was making $50 a week on staff. And I know what it's like to do that faith promise. And I know you sacrifice. And I know what it's like to sacrifice. And me and my wife thank you as a church for your sacrifice, your willingness to give, your love for souls, to see souls saved, your children, amen? Lord, we love thee. And Father, we do thank thee for this church. Lord, for 5 years, they faithfully supported us. They gave, Lord. They gave. And thou says it was a sweet smell. And a sacrifice well-pleasing to thee, Father. And Lord, we know that thou blessest those that give, Lord. And we thank thee, Lord, that they have a heart for souls. They have a heart for missions, Father. And they're willing to sacrifice and give. Thank thee, Lord. Bless them for it, Lord. And protect these children in the Philippines. It is in the precious name of Jesus we pray this. Amen. Thank you, church.
Amen. Man, what a presentation. Really, I mean, just, I wish every missionary per se, I just loved him walking through, letting us see what has transpired, what's happened, what God has done, and then just a simple matter of fact, hey, remember, this equals this. And every money, every dollar you put in, God blesses that. Let's all stand. We'll have an invitation. Hymn 162, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, surely has touched your heart tonight.
I've won.